This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Emily Rooney. Well, the American Civil Liberties Union says that Boston police have been spying on anti-war groups that have absolutely no apparent ties to terrorism or crime, and that public records recently released show that between 2007 and 2012, police were making video recordings of basically peaceful demonstrations and tracking these advocates and oftentimes labeling them as potentially criminal or extremists. Anyway, the ACLU did get release of those records, and joining me now on the phone is Carol Rose. She's the executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts, and Cheryl Fiandaca, the spokeswoman for the Boston Police Department. Welcome to both of you.
Thank
you. Good morning.
So Carol, I mean, I read through all of this, and I read through all the activists that were attracted and how they were labeled and that kind of thing. This particular police unit, the Bureau's Boston Regional Intelligence Center, was something that was put together following the September 11th attacks of 2001, and so it was given federal money to form. I think a lot of people are going to look at this and say, yeah, you know, the police should have deleted these records after a certain amount of time, because that's the deal that they make. If they don't find criminal activity or extremist activity, they're supposed to delete these records. But I think a lot of people are going to look at this and say, well, good. You know, good for the police for going around and looking to see if there isn't a potentially threatening element associated with some of these groups.
Right. But the problem is, in all the records we obtain, there's absolutely no indication of violence. There's no criminal nexus. I mean, the Veterans for Peace aren't a group that is a threat. Howard Zinn, the noted Boston University historian, is hardly a threat, except for maybe intellectually, and now that he's dead, he's especially not, although he'd love it. And the bottom line is, you know, we shouldn't be surveilling ordinary people. It threatens our democracy, and especially it wastes scarce public resources. Police officers have better things to do than to spy on peaceful people not engaged in any criminal activity whatsoever, as these records indicate.
So, Cheryl Fiandaca, I have to challenge you on this, because as an old, you know, gumshoe reporter yourself, you were saying I know, you can't fool me, that this was a computer glitch. Ye old computer glitch excuse, you know, that these files should have been deleted. That kind of stretches credulity.
Well, not really, Emily. When you take a look at this, we're talking about 11 intelligence reports that we found over a four-year period. Now, we have thousands of reports. So to think that, you know, 11 kind of, you know, got through the cracks here, it really doesn't strain credulity at all. I think that we did have a software system that is supposed to flag some of these reports and purge them. In this case, it didn't happen. But that, you know, that we're talking about stuff in 2007 all the way to 2010. I mean, things are much different now in 2012.
That does strain credulity, because we only asked for documents on behalf of four people in five groups. So what about the thousands of other groups who we didn't? The Boston Police Department shouldn't have to rely on the ACLU and the Massachusetts National Lawyers Guild chapter, who did this with us, in order to find out when there's a computer glitch. How many other thousands of computer glitches are taking place? And why did we have to sue in order to get the documents?
Okay, I'm more concerned.
Through a public records request. They
Cheryl,
didn't turn it over.
Well, how did they decide? How did the Boston Police decide? Let's just back up here again. Mm-hmm. Which groups were going to be determined, you know, how they're going to surveil certain groups? How was that determined?
Well, it's all determined based on intelligence, and you have to have an articulable, reasonable suspicion that there was some actual attempted planning, organizing, financing, or some kind of engagement in criminal activity. And that's the standard. Now, the BRIC does compile information that about various events that go on throughout the city, and we do keep an eye on that stuff, but that information is not kept. And in these particular records, these records should not have been kept. I mean, we admitted that. It was a mistake. We don't have any interest in any of those groups. But we do have an interest in public safety, and we do have an interest in gathering information that is helpful to us and making sure that this city stays safe.
Okay, well, what about, for instance, something like the Boston Marathon? I always see, because I live right downtown, one of those anti-terrorism satellite trucks down there. Would you be surveilling organizers of the Boston Marathon? Would there be some element that the Boston Regional Intelligence Center would be, you know what I mean? Is like,
yeah, well, but that's a very big event where you have thousands and thousands of people there. And if there are any concerns about crowds and an opportunity for someone who may have some bad ideas about making
the
a statement
yes.
on that day. So yes, absolutely.
So, Carol, what they're saying here is they cast a very wide net. They're not just picking on anti-war groups, although I'm sure some of them were singled out because of some of the characters involved.
Right. Well, your listeners should actually go and look at the documents themselves at ACLUM.org or National Lawyers Guild website, and they'll see the documents on their face. It's about, can we get Sean Penn to come and speak at our church panel? I mean, on their face, there's nothing even remotely hinting of any criminal nexus, any criminal activity. This is a waste of public resources to do this. If they're, of course, the police have to plan for events, but they don't have to put together documents labeled criminal act, homeland security threat, extremist, put them into a searchable database, and then assume that somehow they won't, there won't be a computer glitch. Mm-hmm. It doesn't ring true. You know, we shouldn't be collecting protected political speech information on people. That violates the BRIC's own privacy policies. They shouldn't collect it in the first place. They shouldn't keep it when they collect it. And these documents show that they do. And we don't know how many other thousands of documents. And groups like the ACLU and the National Lawyers Guild shouldn't have to litigate in court in order to find out that there's been a computer glitch. We need independent auditing systems, independent accountability to make sure that our privacy is being protected.
Okay, so one of the theories or conspiracy theories this really sort of plays into, Cheryl, is that specifically more liberal groups were targeted. And I'm curious to know about whether Occupy Boston was also targeted by BRIC.
Not at all. I mean, but Occupy Boston, you know, we did have some criminal activity involved there. There was some drug dealing. There were some problems there. And any time that we were there taping, we were taping very overtly. And a lot of times that's done so that people who may want to do something won't do anything. You know, there is a delicate balance, and I think that the department is very aware of that. And I think, it looks at all of the intelligence information very critically to balance the needs of public safety versus the privacy of people and groups. And no one wants to chill free speech. No one wants to do that at all, but we want to make sure that people can participate in these events safely. And that is our obligation.
And I think what the release of these sampling, really, of documents shows is that the internal auditing system is broken, and that we need to have an internal or an external independent auditing system that protects people's privacies with clear rules. Obviously, the rules on the book weren't enough to make it happen in reality. We need to stop taking this kind of information in, putting it into searchable databases called criminal intelligence reports, making them searchable and things like that. We need an overhaul of the system.
We actually don't need an overhaul of the system at all. I mean, the system works really well. It is based on national standards of intelligence gathering. It meets all of those guidelines. The information is reviewed and purged on a routine basis. And the BRIC has the obligation to maintain information that's involved with information as a result to public safety. And it is doing that. And some of the information is classified, and that's the reason why we gather it. I mean, after September 11th,
information about church groups trying to get Howard Zinn to speak shouldn't be classified information.
No, and it wasn't.
A Senate bipartisan committee just last week released a report looking at all of these intelligence fusion spying centers nationwide, all of them. And what they found is that it's a colossal waste of money, that it violates people's civil liberties, that it collects garbage.
Well, it's federal money.
State money.
Yeah, but I mean, all these anti-terrorism, you can make that argument, Carol Roosevelt, almost anything that has happened post 9/11 in terms of these security systems. I mean, you know, the people were demanding that the government do something in the wake of 9/11, and these are the kinds of things they set up.
But there are many groups. I mean, the FBI and the JTTF, lots of groups do this kind of surveillance. To duplicate it over and over is a waste of scarce public resources.
But you're arguing with the wrong person.
It violates people's civil liberties.
Yeah, you're arguing with the wrong people, because these are the people charged with doing what the government has set up. They can't just say no thanks.
Yes, actually, they can say no thanks, and that's exactly what the bipartisan Senate committee subcommittee said, who investigated all of these fusion centers. They said it's been a waste, and that it's
That report's been widely criticized.
It's also been widely supported. I mean, the idea of these fusion centers,
as I understand it, was assembly so the government could, you know, share terrorism-related information with states and localities, which they said there was a colossal failure of that before 9/11. So here they set up
these... colossal failure still, and these reports show it's still a colossal failure. They show us one thing that shows any evidence of terrorism or crime in these reports. There isn't any in the sampling that we were able to get, but we had to litigate to get. I understand the theory.
The problem is the fact that you are not able to get.
Carol, hold on. Let me hear Cheryl.
I said, there are classified documents that you are not able to get, that there are plenty of information that we have gathered that is very important to intelligence gathering and very important to public safety. I mean, you know, we've seen even as recent as just this week in New York problems.
Well, the information on our clients, none of it was declared classified. If there's information
right.
that any of these people
are... Wait, one at a time here. We can't hear anybody what anybody's saying. So, Carol, go ahead.
Well, I'm saying none of the clients in this case had any threat. There was no terrorism. There was no link to violence. There was nothing. It was people like Howard Zinn. It was people like Sean Penn. It was church groups. I mean, this is Veterans for Peace, United for Justice. With
Code Pink, whatever
groups,
that is.
Code Pink. These aren't groups that are linked to terrorism. And if they are, then maybe the Boston Police Department needs to present that
Cheryl,
evidence. But that isn't
right.
what's happened
what
here.
What about the suspicion I said earlier that more liberal groups are being targeted? Is that fair?
That's absolutely not true at all. That's not true at all. I mean, there's a very strict standard that the BRIC uses. And as I said, it has to be a reasonable suspicion articulated. And that's the reason
reasonable suspicion with Howard Zinn or Code Pink or that church group?
But those are reports that they're classified into three different categories. There's a classification called permanent, temporary, and interim. Interim basically means that there's an event going on in the city. Here are the people that are participating. Here's where it's taking place. We do keep track of all of that. And those are the records that she's talking about that should have been purged.
Why are they filed as criminal acts?
Carol, wait.
They're not.
Carol, hold on. Carol, you got to wait until Cheryl's done. All right.
That's what we're saying, that there was a mistake in the system, and those particular records that should have been purged were not. We're not keeping them. We have no interest in any of those people.
All right. Carol Rose from the ACLU. Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're not interested and that you'll be purging all the records, not only on these clients, but on anybody else. Because the problem is when the system breaks down, it really does strain credulity to say, now trust us, we're going to get it right now. If the rules were in place and they weren't being followed in this instance, we need some kind of an independent outside investigation system, an auditing system to ensure on an ongoing basis that those kind of computer glitches aren't missed again. And it still doesn't make sense that these groups or these people should be put into criminal databases that are searchable, given labels like extremist or Homeland Security threat. Those are tags that really can stick to people, mm-hmm. and that's dangerous. That's really undermines our very system of democracy.
And it makes the police, frankly, look foolish.
Yeah, it's a waste of money.
I mean, but it doesn't make us look foolish. We admitted that there was a mistake, and we've corrected the mistake. It's a very valuable tool for police officers to have, and it has helped out in numerous, numerous events and things that have gone on in the city. So, you know, it's a balancing act, and it's a tough one to balance gathering intelligence on things that you really do need to know about and to keep track of, but at the same time being very aware of protecting the rights of people and groups.
And I
think
the best way to do that is
check and
balance.
That in a very, very effective way.
Okay.
The effective way to do it is to ensure a system of checks and balances.
All right. I'm losing control of this debate. All right. Carol Rose from the Massachusetts American Civil Liberties Union
so
and Cheryl Fiandaca from the Boston Police Department. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up, Callie Crossley looks at 20-somethings. It's an era where young people aren't finding jobs they thought they'd get right out of school. Well, neither did I. What are they expecting? And they're going to be taking to social media and blogs to vent. Callie looks into it with Laura Bennett from the New Republic. I'm Emily Rooney, and this is Boston Public Radio.